Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 8 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. President Trump threatens 100% tariffs on Russia. We have the story.
Wichita City Council will get a look at next year's proposed budget today. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
President Donald Trump threatened to set tariffs against Russia Monday. Cox's Kevin Cork reports from Washington.
The commander-in-chief admitted that he was disappointed in Mr. Putin, and because of that, along with tons of stalling by the Russian leader, now he's going to try a new tactic to try to get him to end the violence in Ukraine. While the president didn't give a lot of specifics about how those tariffs might be rolled out, here's the most important factor. They would be secondary tariffs, potentially hammering Russia's key trading partners like India and China. What's more, the president confirmed he's going to help Ukraine by selling arms to our NATO allies, who then in turn could send them to Kyiv to help stop the slaughter.
The president also suggested the tariffs could be set at 100%. Experts have said tariffs would raise prices for American consumers and businesses.
Authorities have released the name of a man killed in a hit-and-run in West Wichita. 41-year-old Kerry Lee South died early Saturday. He was found on the on-ramp at Kellogg and Tyler. Investigators learning that South was crossing Kellogg and was hit by a vehicle, which then drove away from the scene. The incident remains under investigation. Anyone with additional information is encouraged to contact police or Crime Stoppers at 267-2111.
At today's meeting, the Wichita City Council will look at next year's proposed budget. Vice Mayor J.V. Johnston tells KNSS News final approval of that budget will come next month.
Still plenty of time for people to have input on the budget. And the big thing is, do we go revenue neutral? Do we do increase of maybe what inflation and new builds, or do we take the full advantage of the valuation increases for property? So right now we're looking at about a half a mil reduction. That's not a lot, but I think it's going in the right direction anyway.
J.V. Johnston commented on Mondays with the mayor on the Steve and Ted of the Morning Show on KNSS.
In an interview with the New York Times, former President Joe Biden rejecting claims his aides used AutoPen without his knowledge. Fox's Madeline Rivera with more from the nation's capital.
Biden is pushing back, saying, "I was deeply involved. I laid out a strategy how I want to go about these, dealing with pardons and commutations." Republicans, though, say the new information bolsters their argument that Biden's team took executive action without his approval. The New York Times reports the day before President Trump was inaugurated, Biden met with his staff over clemency decisions. While Biden reportedly spoke with his aides, it was his chief of staff, Jeff Zients, who ultimately replied to staff writing, "I approve the use of AutoPen for the execution of all the following pardons."
The House of Representatives, the Senate, and the Justice Department are investigating the former president's cognitive health during his term. He had granted pardons to many of his family members, including his siblings and his son, Hunter.
An Oklahoma farmer is dead after being attacked by his livestock.
Bradley McMichael was fatally attacked by two water buffaloes that he purchased at an auction one day earlier. That's according to a newly released statement from the police department in Jones, Oklahoma, a small rural community outside of Oklahoma City. The farmer suffered deep lacerations after he became trapped in an enclosure with the animals. Water buffalo originate from Southeast Asia and are similar in size to the American bison. An adult can typically weigh more than 1,200 pounds. Tom Graham, Fox News.
Okay, and it says news time now, 8:04, 4 minutes past 8 o'clock. Big fish kill at a pond in Goddard. That story and more just ahead. Ted Woodward has sports coming up.
Yeah, 4 years ago, there was huge outrage when Major League Baseball yanked the All-Star game out of Atlanta. So where's the outrage 4 years later? Well, let's talk about that in sports.
More news on the way. Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS. KNSS News time now, 6, make that 8:08, 8 minutes past 8 o'clock. Goddard residents woke up Monday to an unpleasant smell caused by hundreds of dead fish in their neighborhood pond. It's not the first time a foul smell has consumed the neighborhood, and dead fish have floated in the pond. It also happened in 2016. Wildlife authorities say the fish kills have been caused by algae in the pond.
Prosecutors in Colorado today will lay out evidence in the firebomb attack on Jewish demonstrators that claimed the life of an 82-year-old woman.
Cops say Mohammed Sabri Solomon told them that he intended to kill the roughly 20 participants at the weekly demonstration on Boulder's pedestrian mall. He's charged with throwing two Molotov cocktails while yelling "Free Palestine" as the group of Jews marched in support of Israeli hostages in Gaza. Solomon, an Egyptian national, has been living in the United States illegally with his family. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
Tesla's autopilot system is in the legal spotlight.
A jury in Miami will have to decide if Elon Musk's company is to blame for the 2019 death of a college student after a runaway Tesla sent her flying 75 feet through the air and severely injured her boyfriend. Lawyers for the plaintiff argue the autopilot system should have warned the driver and braked when his car blew through flashing red lights, a stop sign, and a T-intersection at nearly 70 miles an hour. Tesla blames the driver for reaching for a dropped cell phone. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
The U.S. government is making a move in hopes of boosting domestic production of tomatoes.
The U.S. is putting a 17% duty on fresh Mexican tomatoes after negotiations ended without a deal to avoid the tariff. Those in favor of the move say it will help rebuild the shrinking U.S. tomato industry and ensure that produce eaten in the U.S. is also grown in the States. But opponents, including U.S. companies that grow tomatoes in Mexico, say it will make fresh tomatoes more expensive for U.S. buyers and possibly disrupt the supply chain. Currently, Mexico supplies around 70% of the U.S. tomato market, which is up 30% from two decades ago, according to the Florida Tomato Exchange. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 8:10, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock.
Traffic volume is pretty heavy right now, and we did have a stalled out vehicle. It was eastbound on K96, just east of Hillside. Now, they do have that cleared at the moment. Problem is that road construction is right there. That backup went all the way back out onto the ramp to eastbound K96 as well. That whole area is still running very slowly. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS and the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jad Chambers.
And now the forecast with Storm Team 12 meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Mostly sunny, hot, and humid today. High 93. Will feel more like the upper 90s. A south wind 10 to 20 will cool us off just a little bit. Partly cloudy and warm, 74 tonight. 95 on Wednesday. Partly cloudy and breezy with a good chance of storms after midnight into Thursday morning. That will lead us into a cooler day. Mostly cloudy on Thursday. High 86. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Now partly cloudy, 76 degrees. South wind at 7 miles per hour at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Just took a peek out the window at some big, fluffy, white clouds this morning across south-central Kansas. Today is the 15th day of July. It was on this date in 1945. The United States tested the first atomic bomb near Alamogordo, New Mexico. And the following month, dropped atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan, hastening the end of World War II.
And that was all done in great secrecy.
Yeah, it was. That was in 1945. Well, there, a person in North Carolina got lucky. A man said he had a dream and a gut feeling that led to his winning $1 million from a scratch-off lottery ticket. Rick Nunnery Jr. told North Carolina education lottery officials his subconscious mind warned him that lottery luck was in his nature and in his future. Nunnery said a gut feeling led him to make his dream come true Friday with a $1 million triple play ticket from Wink Mart on Deep River Road in Sanford, North Carolina. Nunnery said his winnings will go toward paying bills and investing. There you go. A lucky guy. Stephen 10 in the morning here on KNSS. Turning to a more serious note, if we may, a deadly overnight blaze in an assisted living home in Massachusetts. And Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers is with us this morning to talk about it. Good morning, Tanya.
Hey, good morning.
So there are 9 dead and quite a few injured in this fire, right?
Yeah, this happened on Sunday night right before 10 o'clock. So it was pretty late in the evening. And nine people were killed, ranging in age from 61 to 86. This was at an assisted living facility in Fall River, Massachusetts. That's about 50 miles south of Boston. This place is called Gabriel House Facility. It opened in 99, has about 100 units. I think there were something like 70 residents there at the time. The response, the cause of the fire is still under investigation. At this point, we don't know what caused it, but the response to the fire is getting a lot of attention. For one, about 50 firefighters responded to the scene. About 30 of those were off duty at the time. They, you know, heard what was going on and rushed over. Police also helped to break down the doors, carried about a dozen people to safety. There were five firefighters who were injured. They were released from the hospital on Monday. So they are usually going to make a recovery there. But now there are, seems to be some like finger pointing basically about the response and could it have been more. The firefighters union said that there was inadequate staffing, that they had had issues with inadequate staffing for years, that fire companies have been closed and cutbacks on staff have happened. And this is one of the things that's been a problem for quite some time. This is not new. But the firefighters union folks say that that is what contributed to, you know, the hindrance to the response of the fire and contributed to the death toll. Now, the mayor is pushing back on that. The fire chief is as well, and suggested that no number of first responders would have been enough to have, you know, to have saved the people who perished in this fire.
Of course, it's a, for many of us, it's a nightmare just to think about having our loved ones in some kind of living from this standpoint. I mean, mm-hmm. we know they're usually pretty safe, but what happens if, like in Kansas, what happens if a tornado blows up or what happens in a fire? Yep. And this is, so yeah, it's, people are going to take this very deeply and personally, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's just something that a lot of people can immediately, you know, identify with. I mean, you know, your loved one is in a nursing home and this is assisted living. So, you know, it's, by definition, that they have a little bit more of independence. It's not the same as a like a skilled nursing home situation necessarily. I mean, it could be a combination of both. But you know, you're talking about people who you know would need some help getting out. Obviously, you know the firefighters did everything that they could. To one of them, the captain, Franco Reagan, said that there was no breathing equipment available when he got there. So he just started going door to door on the third floor of this place with no air tank until the smoke got to him and he had to get out. But I mean, these were guys who didn't, you know, they didn't all show up in, you know, full equipment with, you know, breathing tanks and everything else. I mean, they just were like, okay, let's do the best we can. Let's get in there. Which, you know, hats off to first responders everywhere, because that's the thing that they do, you know, when the rest of us, you know, go the opposite direction. They're the ones running in, regardless of how prepared they are. They're going to go in and do what they can.
Yeah, firefighters are not going to worry about that kind of stuff. This was a three-story thing then, so it occurs to me that this had some difficulties, because the ones around here we have are usually just like one floor, you know, which would make it a whole lot easier to manage something like that. But gosh, three floors.
I thought about that.
Man.
Yeah, that caught my attention as well. This place was built in 1999. So I don't know if that's something that newer facilities have to do. Most of those you see are one floor. There's not a you know, multi-story situation. Maybe some of the older ones. I don't know if that was, you know, like a grandfathered in kind of thing, or if their building codes have changed since then. But I noticed that too. I thought that was interesting.
All right. Well, listen, thank you. Appreciate your help, your coverage this morning. As always, Fox News Radio's Tonya J. Powers. Steve, that's again, that's Massachusetts, Fall River, and nine people dead and I think 30 injured in a fire at an assisted living facility. That was, I guess, Sunday night. I thought it was last night. It was Sunday night that it happened. 8:18 now, Stephen, 10 in the morning here on KNSS. And let's take a look at sports now with Ted Woodward.
Tonight is the big 95th Major League Baseball All-Star Game. It is in Atlanta tonight. The National League taking on the American League. Of course, last night, the night before the All-Star Game, it's time for the Home Run Derby.
The 2025 MLB Home Run Derby kicking off All-Star Week in Atlanta on Monday, and Cal Raleigh of the Seattle Mariners proving why he leads the league in home runs this season. courtesy of ESPN. Coming into the Derby on Monday, Raleigh's 38 homers before the All-Star break was the second most all-time behind Barry Bonds, who hit 39 back in 2001. But last night, Raleigh smacked 54 homers over the wall in three rounds, outlasting the field and winning the Home Run Derby, becoming the first catcher to ever win the competition.
It means the world, you know. I could hit zero home runs and I would have had just as much fun, so I just can't believe it won. It's unbelievable.
It's courtesy of ESPN. Raleigh also becoming the first Seattle Mariner to win the Derby since Ken Griffey Jr., who won the competition three times in his career. I'm Tony Genualdo.
That report from Fox Sports, right? Home Run Derby last night. The game is tonight.
Yeah.
American League and the National League. Kansas City Royals have four players on the American League roster, and that does include, for the second straight season, shortstop Bobby Witt Jr. Coming out of the Royals bullpen, closer Carlos Estevez is in his second All-Star game, his first as a member of the Royals. Also, Mikel Garcia, who's had a great season at third base for the Royals, playing in his first All-Star game. And Royals pitcher Chris Bubich also will appear in his first All-Star game roster. So there's four Royals on your American League roster for tonight's game. Of course, you might remember 4 years ago, Major League Baseball with a very dramatic pulling out of the All-Star game. It was supposed to be in Atlanta 4 years ago, and they moved it to Denver instead, because there were massive protests over the Election Integrity Act of 2021 in the state of Georgia. Huge outrage. The All-Star game pulled out. So here we are 4 years later. Why is it okay now and it wasn't then? The law is still on the books. Pat McAfee at the All-Star game was asked by a member of the press corps about that on MLB Central.
There is a law on the books here in Atlanta that is a voter suppression law that Joe Biden has called Jim Crow of the 21st century. Dave, in 2021, in the MLB Network special, you said it's about being relentless with our voices and speaking up, and this is not an isolated moment, and it needs to be something talked about on an ongoing basis and being relentless with it. What happened to being relentless with our voices, and why are we in Atlanta when this law is still on the books? And it is a dangerous situation to be a journalist in Atlanta because Atlanta has detained the most journalists by ICE.
Interesting. I don't know if any of us are the experts or the ones that should be giving answers on that, but respect and appreciate the way you feel about it. And I would assume that there was a reason or some conversation that was had by the MLB and the state that all parties thought that this would be a wonderful host city for the All-Star game. And I think everybody is all very excited to be back in the beautiful city of Atlanta, I think.
Oh, thank you for not answering my question. That was quite the non-answer right there.
There you go.
So, yeah, the law is still on the books. It has undergone legal challenges. But 4 years later, baseball is apparently just fine with going to Atlanta, where 4 years ago they couldn't get out fast enough. The governor of Georgia said, quote, Georgia's voting laws haven't changed, but it's good to see Major League Baseball's misguided understanding of them have. In 2022, the University of Georgia did a poll and found that 99% of Georgia voters did not have any issues at all with voting in the state. All right, so that's what's going on there. The All-Star game 4 years later is in Atlanta after they pulled out in 2021. The Major League Baseball draft finished up yesterday. Wichita State junior pitcher Nick Potter was drafted in the fifth round by the Houston Astros. Wichita State has now had at least one draft pick in the Major League Draft 45 consecutive years. And that is not counting the very small pandemic draft in the year 2020. Usually there's always a shocker there, and there was again for 45 times in a row in the Major League Baseball Draft. That's sports with Steve and Ted, and sports is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company with locations east, west, and historic Delano, which features a rooftop deck. Wichita Brewing Company. It's pizza and beer made here.
Steve and Ted now, 8:23 here, and Hannity Morning Minute is coming up. Sean says ICE agents have a right to protect themselves. That's on the way with Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 8:30 on a Tuesday morning, 76 degrees. The family has released the name of a man who was killed in a crash Saturday in El Dorado. Investigators say a car hit a utility pole at Taylor and Locust. The driver, a 53-year-old woman, was hospitalized in critical condition. A 40-year-old man was hospitalized in stable condition. And 61-year-old Marty Kincaid was pronounced dead at the scene. NATO's Secretary General visited the White House to talk about a deal to sell weapons to NATO members to pass on to Ukraine amid its war with Russia. Fox's Jackie Heinrich at the White House has more.
President Trump is stepping up Ukraine's defenses with billions of dollars worth of U.S. weapons bought and distributed by NATO allies. Trump now fed up with Putin's games.
I don't want to say he's an assassin, but he's a tough guy.
Trump also giving Putin 50 days to reach a deal or face 100% secondary sanctions on any country doing business with Russia, a hefty consequence for major purchasers of Russian oil like China and India. The package is separate from the 500% secondary sanctions leaders in the Senate and House have been withholding for Trump's green light. The president said Ukraine should begin receiving Patriot missile systems within days, replacements now heading to NATO countries.
This comes after the Trump administration paused weapons shipments to Ukraine just last month. Access to the north rim of the Grand Canyon has been closed for the season thanks to a fire.
Park officials announcing their decision Sunday after a fast-moving wildfire destroyed a historic lodge and several other structures in the area. The Dragon Bravo fire, it started by lightning on July 4th, was initially managed by authorities with a confine and contain strategy to clear fuel sources. They shifted to aggressive suppression a week later as it rapidly grew to more than 8 square miles because of hot temperatures, low humidity, and strong wind gusts. No injuries have been reported, but the park says more than 70 structures have been destroyed. John Saucier, Fox News.
NFL Hall of Famer John Elway will not be facing any charges as the death of his former agent, Jeff Spurbeck, is ruled an accident. Fox's Marianne Rafferty reports.
62-year-old Spurbeck reportedly fell off a golf cart, striking his head on asphalt, and died days later at a hospital in Palm Springs. Elway was at the wheel. The NFL Hall of Famer wrote in a statement to ESPN following the incident. He says, quote, "There are no words to truly express the profound sadness I feel with the sudden loss of someone who has meant so much to me. Jeff will be deeply missed for the loyalty, wisdom, friendship, and the love he brought into my life and the lives of so many others." The Riverside County Sheriff's Office releasing a statement saying they determined that the incident was a tragic accident with no evidence of criminal activity or intent.
Spurbeck had died in April from what investigators ruled as blunt force trauma, though why he fell out of the cart is unclear. He represented more than 100 NFL players during his 30-year career as an agent. Even though the water level has been increasing at Cheney Reservoir, drought watering restrictions are expected to remain in place for several months. Vice Mayor J.V. Johnston tells KNSS News.
It's the 12-month rolling average of Lake Cheney. Hits a certain spot, it's got to get above that. Lake Cheney's only about a half a foot below normal now. Me personally, I think this is a good time that we could take those restrictions off and maybe go to every other day watering permanently. It's not good to water your grass every day.
J.V. Johnston commented on Mondays with the mayor on the Stephen Ted of the Morning Show on KNSS. Stephen Ted of the Morning, KNSS, 8:51 here on this Tuesday morning. Three big things.
Three.
Wichita City Council will get a look at next year's proposed budget today.
Two.
Police release the name of a pedestrian killed in a hit and run in West Wichita.
One.
President Trump threatens 100% tariffs against Russia and nations that do business with Russia. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Things in traffic looking pretty good on the highways at the moment. We do have the report of an ambulance rolling in the area of Harry and Oliver. So watch for a slowdown around that. Traffic update from 98.7. 1330 KNSS and the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jed Chambers.
Sunny and hot today with a high of 93 degrees. Mostly clear tonight. Overnight low 74. Wednesday, sunny and hot. Tomorrow's high up to 96. Now partly cloudy, 76 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Weather brought to you by the Monarch. $7 signature and classic cocktails today at the Monarch. All cocktails on both venues. Just $7 at the Monarch, 579 West Douglas at the roundabout in historic Delano. A big day. Mixed opening on Wall Street this morning. The Dow down 106 points. The S&P is up 14 and the NASDAQ is up 139. Big day on Wichita City Council. Let's hear about a Wichita Business Journal update with editor Kirk Semenoff. Kirk, a big day ahead for the Wichita City Council. Now the Wichita Business Journal update with editor Kirk Semenoff. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning, Steve. Let's hope the City Council has its Red Bull at its side today. The council is going to be taking up three major agenda items that will have lasting effects on Wichita business. First, the council will decide whether to put the 100-year-old Crown Uptown Theater on the Wichita Register of Historic Places. Doing that would make it tougher for owner Mike Brown to demolish the building. Brown wants to have demolition as an option after the city denied his application to increase maximum occupancy from 850 to 2,000 people. The Historic Preservation Board and Metropolitan Area Planning Commission have already recommended the register, but the council gets the final say, and three of the seven members have expressed reservations in the past about building owners being kept from doing what they want with their property. The council will also vote on a proposal to issue $21 million in industrial revenue bonds that will enable construction to begin at Town West Mall to create a $41 million industrial park to revive the struggling indoor shopping mall. The bonds would save the developers $500,000 in construction materials and labor, and those developers are also expected to return to the city early next year to request more tax financing help. Finally, the council will make a couple decisions about the proposed Hotel Indigo, which would connect the Petroleum Building and McClellan Hotel Building at Broadway and William into a 119-room hotel downtown. The council will decide whether to set public hearings for the creation of a community improvement district and for adoption of a redevelopment project plan for tax increment financing. The total project cost is estimated at $41 million, and developers are asking for more than $10 million in maximum reimbursement through those two incentives. Local breaking business news every day on KNSS and at WichitaBusinessJournal.com. For the Wichita Business Journal, I'm Kirk Semenoff.
Hey, thank you, Kirk. And thanks. There have been a lot of people that have helped me in my career over the past 55 years on radio.
Yay! Chat.
A lot of people, and great support from my family, especially my wife, who supported me every step of the way. And 55 years ago today, I turned on the microphone for the first time and got paid to be on the radio.
And here we are 55 years later. Congratulations, Steve McIntosh.
Sooner or later, I'm going to get it right. Okay. Coming up, the Glenn Beck program here on KNSS. Top of the hour news this morning on KNSS. A big agenda for the Wichita City Council today. If you missed any of today's show or just want to listen again, check out the Odyssey app. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Glenn Beck, the Dana Lash Show, and news updates all day. Steve is headed the morning on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita.